come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to
Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 847-475-1590. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll be taking your calls, and of course, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll have Clutter Clarity with Robbie Earhart. And in Maybe. The third, well, yeah, I'm sure she's out there driving frantically right now, right?
She stopped to get you donuts.
Is that what it is?
I'm sure. If you're going to be late, you might as well bring donuts.
Why do we always call her out when she's late? You know, we could go without calling her out, but we always seem to call her out. I don't know why.
This is weekly.
Yeah.
It's all fun.
It's all fun and good. We like teasing each other. That's the problem. And she makes it easy. Yes. Maybe that's part of it. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can find video clips of the show, and they're available at MightyHouse.net and, of course, on our Mighty House YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse, and you can use the hashtag MightyHouse. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. There we go. All right. So, first up.
You done?
I'm done, yes.
So, just sitting here, you know, going through emails while we... Uh-huh. You know, get this rolling.
Okay.
So I have an invoice from, it looks like QuickBooks, and it says my balance due is, I suppose it would be $12,339, but the comma is right after the one.
Yeah.
So it's 1,2339.23. You know, so it's not written well. And it says, click here, you know, view your invoice. I mean, I know right. It's a phishing or a, you know,
right.
Crap email, but I just love how... Like, if people put this much energy into actually doing a job, they could be really wealthy. No, it's they'd yes. rather sit in some foreign country and steal money. But it's hilarious the creativity some of these people have.
But
favorites are the ones from the IRS, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. The IRS phishing scams. They just want you to click and open their file so that they can download crap onto your computer, you know, and there she goes.
Well, it opens up your computer, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, before the show, we were talking about video. It was the code enforcement guy.
What's that?
The code enforcement guy with the barbecue smoke?
Right.
That's the video. That's the video that kicked up.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I remember talking, so.
Yeah.
I thought I was
making
good time.
Which makes sense then when you think about it.
I was happy, Rich.
Good morning, Robbie.
I was happy. I'm like, relaxed this morning. I'm like, I have plenty of time. I'm cruising, and all of a sudden I hear the theme song. I'm like,
uh-oh.
That was weird. I was like, oh, woohoo. And it's like, you know, you're like, oh, we always make fun of her. This is only the second time. I know it's twice in a row. But since we've been here, it's only the second time. Just saying.
Normally you're walking in right as the theme is playing. So
as the music's going.
I thought I'd be early. I really did.
Yeah?
I don't know what
happened.
Too
many stoplights?
I don't know. It was just weird. But, you know, glad to hear that we all...
I don't see the bag of donuts.
I didn't have time to stop for the bag of donuts.
Ben's upset with you because he didn't bring him anything.
I know, and Ben was so kind last week to give me some of his breakfast pizza.
What is a breakfast pizza?
That sounds really good.
Besides delicious, what is what is a breakfast pizza?
Well, let's start it off with a croissant crust.
Okay.
Then a sausage, bacon, cheese. Just breakfast it up.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Trixie was a big fan.
All right, that sounds really good.
It was.
Okay.
Apparently it's from Aldi's. Maybe. Yes. Or maybe it was homemade. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to give my secrets, my trade secrets. Like
okay.
That.
All right.
They opened up their first Aldi in Naples, and now all the grocery stores are having wars.
Oh, really?
Good.
Aldi came in and, you know, it is. It's actually really good, but it's, yeah. Well, they just have their price.
Oh, yeah.
They're not really, you know what I mean? They're not undercutting, but it's awesome.
What's that, Ben?
I like the bag policy, just to bring your own.
Right.
That's how it is most places now.
And
right. In Chicago.
What was it? Chicago charges, 7 cents for a plastic bag?
Yep.
Any bag. Plastic bag, paper bag. And when you go to a store like Mariano's, they always double their bags. So when I forget my bags, I'm like, you be doubling that bag.
See, now, Robbie, I do just the opposite. I'm probably the crazy one because I actually go to GFS and I buy boxes, a box of 1,000 plastic bags.
Yeah.
And because I have to go through 2 or 3 a day walking the dogs.
Yep.
And when you have a sheepdog, you can't use those little ones you get from the pet store. So, instead of trying to save old bags, because I really hate when the bag has a hole in the bottom because I'm not really strong, I prefer to use new bags. But you go buy 1,000 of the things for like $10 at GFS. So they're brand new and I just, have it hanging in the laundry room by their leads, and I just grab a bag and we go walking.
That was my clutter clarity tip of the week.
Oh, excellent.
GFS, get a box of bags. It's all good. So now I have to think of something else.
Uh-huh.
Dang.
Dang.
All right, so I'll be ignoring you guys for the next couple hours. I'll be on
the Facebook?
On the Facebook trying to find a new tip of the week.
Oh, okay.
Just how to save money. Darn.
What?
There you go.
What? Getting the dog bags from GFS.
No. You just don't have a dog. Or you just fence in the backyard and let them go out in the backyard. Do their business.
Still got to pick it up.
No.
Ron doesn't.
That's what rain is for.
That's what the lawnmower is for.
You know what I need, Robbie? I need a sign for my front yard that says, please pick up after your dog. They can't and we don't want to.
Yeah.
I actually saw one of the, it's a sign of a dog, of the dog doing its business with an X over it.
Yeah.
In somebody's yard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I pick up after my dog. Actually, my sheepdog, she's weird. She doesn't go on grass. She'll pee on grass, but she has to poo on sidewalks and streets.
Oh, nice.
Easier to pick up, man. Much easier to pick up.
Absolutely. Trust me, it's way easier, so I don't worry about it, but... Most people around here do pick up because it is the ordinance.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I love when I go out in the yard and I got a big old pile in my yard from somebody else's dog, and I'm like, that's just rude.
Uh huh. Yep.
Have you?
I know
ever...
who it is, so I pick it up and put it on their car.
Have you ever forgotten a bag and your dog has pooed?
Yes, and also, like walking down the street and had a bag blow out of my pocket, didn't realize it, so the dog's going and I go to my pocket and I'm like, uh-oh.
I know. That drives me nuts because I don't want to be that person.
Uh-huh.
So I will look around. In our neighborhood, we get these little orange bags with coupons once in a while. I look up and down the street. I'm like, and then sometimes I just in case people are looking out the window, I'm like, sorry, no bag.
But if you have the crimper pooper scooper things, that you just walk along, you just squeeze and and it opens up and you can just grab it. Just take that with you. That's what I used to do when I
that doesn't work in the grass in
yeah,
most
it does.
Grass.
Oh, sure it does. The one I had
we have crab grass. The stuff you try to kill in Chicago is what we call grass now.
I carry. Okay, so you have your keys, your phone, you have your dog treats, you have your water, you have your sunscreen, whatever. I'm just,
Just saying.
And I have to carry a pooper scooper?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because if you go for a 2-mile walk, you're just carrying a pooper scooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then if your dog poops, then you go for a mile walk and you're carrying poop in a pooper scooper.
Right. Well, until you get to you get to a garbage can or you get somewhere, you can just toss it off. In your case... you're across from the, you know, if you got to go forest preserve, you can't toss it in the forest preserve?
I mean, everybody does, and that's my pet peeve.
Oh.
They walk their dog in front of my house,
uh-huh.
and then they poop
on the forest,
preserve, and then it freezes in the winter, uh-huh. comes spring, it stinks. There's just piles of it.
See, and down here you have to pick up because it pollutes the canals and stuff. It raises the nitrogen levels and it screws up the aquatic stuff, so it's important to pick it up.
Jeez. All right.
Jeez.
More poo talk.
Jeez.
Right.
Yep. Didn't take long to go there.
Nope. Right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590 and get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts or preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And, of course, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, just go to MightyHouse.net, click on the contact page, and you'll see what Rich has got planned for the show every week. A little ahead of time.
I don't need it, but kind of get an idea what's coming up. Sometimes there's links for freebies, and sometimes there's
not, you never know. And right. and then there's people that make send back comments, you know, from because there's a email of the week that we put in there, so you're always getting some new information there for sure. And so you'll get a little tidbit, and then people respond back and give me answers and tell me how I screwed the answers up or Rich screwed the answers up.
Wow. So,
yep. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, everybody always has to do that. So should we just jump into the really obvious one that happened this week that you posted on Facebook about a lawsuit being filed against Home Depot and Lowe's because some morons. But seriously,
that blew up
because a 4x4 is not 4 inches by 4 inches, it's 3.5 by 3.5.
And yes.
They're suing because they feel like they got cheated.
Right. Well, it's false advertising. You need to, if you're going to put a 4x4 in your advertising, and that's what you're advertising in the flyers, and when you go to the store and you find out it's not really 4x4, it's something else. That's false advertising, well, Rich.
I can honestly tell you that this conspiracy goes all the way to the mills.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because I get random links, which is an industry report. I get it every week. And it gives me pricing on lumber because you don't buy lumber by the piece. You buy it by the board foot.
Right.
And you save a lot of money.
Right.
And oddly enough, everything is listed as 2x4, 4x4, you know,
right.
1x6, 1x8. And none of them are that size.
No.
Shocking. Shocking.
Wait. It is shocking to people who do not know. Now, on your post, most people knew, but there are a couple people who responded that they didn't know.
Yep.
And I am curious if anybody who did not know that a 2x4 is not 2x4 and wants to call up 847-475-1590 and admit you didn't know, because you know me, I'll admit that I'm dumb all the time. I didn't know a 2x4 wasn't 2x4 until the show.
Okay.
I don't mean until today, but
yeah.
But Gina didn't either till we were talking about that the other day. She said
really?
She never realized that actual either. I mean, we build stuff together, and I tell her go out to the truck, grab 2 2x4s.
Yeah.
So she'll go grab 2 2x4s. She doesn't realize that they're 1.5 by 3.5. So I go, no, but that's if you do this for a living, it's like common knowledge.
Right.
Okay. How when you file a lawsuit, and I'm no lawyer, but you file a lawsuit. Judges have to review it to see if it has merit and with whether or not they'll proceed.
Right.
If this gets past step one, it's a travesty. It's just, this should just be thrown away and the people should be knocked in the forehead.
Yes. With a 2x4.
Yeah. And this is exactly why people hate lawyers, is because some ass is enough to take on that case and tell the guys not, you know, get out of my office. And they want to turn it into a class action lawsuit. And you know what happens when they do that? Everybody that has bought a 4x4 in the last 3 years will get 47 cents, and the lawyers will get millions.
Yes.
So that's why they do it. It's their stupid motivation.
But the problem is, we were trying to figure this out. It's not like it's something new. But I was talking to some other guys at the shop about this. We're trying to figure out, what was it, mid to late 20s when they switched this over, and a 2x4 was actually 1.5 by 3.5?
Well, it's when I started planing them.
Before they were rough cut.
When you make a 2x4, when it comes through the mill, it is sawn, rough sawn, at 2 inches by 4 inches. If you work on a turn-of-the-century home, all the studs in the walls are 2 inches by 4 inches, but they're rough as hell. You'll get splinters, right?
Yeah, they're
rough
cut.
Not consistent.
Yeah.
So what they do is they cut them rough, 2 inches by 4 inches, then run them through the planers, which then make them more uniform, which gives you straighter walls and so on. They're easier to stack, easier to ship.
Right. But there was,
and they get smaller.
Yeah. The other thing was, there was a short period of time there where they were inch and 3/4 by 3 3/4 too. There was like from 1900 to 1920s, or there was a 10 or 15 year period where they were those weird sizes, and then they went down again. So it was a true 2x4 that has been since gone down. So I just go ahead.
And that thing got a lot of legs already. You know what I mean? It was kind of moving around on the page, and quite a few people viewed. I'm going to pull it up now because I want to see where it's at with, you know, the average thing we post will get 300, 400, 500 people viewing it. And this thing was already well over 1500 yesterday.
Yeah. You ready? You want to push the buttons on the board there, Trixie?
Well,
hold on. Let's go to the phones and talk to Jeff here real quick.
Thank you. Right.
Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Ron, Robbie, and Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
What, you mean a 2x4 is not a 2x4?
No, and it hasn't been my entire life.
Me neither.
Do you know what I'd like to do is a countersuit? Not to interrupt you, Jeff, but here's the thing. Have you ever bought a 2x10 12-footer? They're not 12-foot. They're 12-foot-1. They're giving me free lumber. We're being undercharged for 2x12s while we're being overcharged for 4x4s.
Yes.
The only thing that ever came close, and I used to buy them once in a while many, many years ago, is what they used to call factory pullouts.
Factory pullouts. Explain. Yeah.
Well, it's now called, they were a higher grade of lumber. You know, they were straighter and smoother and everything else.
Okay.
And they were closer to dimensional. But that was 30 years ago. You could get that.
Okay.
But this guy, when I was 10 years old, my father explained this to me.
Yeah.
You know why a 2x4 wasn't a 2x4. I blame it because there's no more shop class either.
And people who aren't in the trades who don't need to know.
Okay.
You know, if somebody, again, says to me, Robbie, go grab a 2x4, I know what I'm grabbing. I don't need to know that it's not exactly 2x4.
Well, and Gina brought up the point.
Go ahead.
Well, my wife, she brought up the point. She's like, well, what if I'm planning something and I need 10 4x4s? So I plan for 40 inches. I bring them home, but it's only 35 and a half. I'm short on my space.
Yep.
And I go, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what could happen. However, because I know what the hell I'm doing, I know it's 3.5 inches and I plan for that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I said, my big answer to this is, like I said, the Walmart greeter. If you're walking up to the store and we ask, do you know the size of a 2x4? And you go, no, they shouldn't allow you in the store. You have no business going in a home center.
So you have to pass the test to
get
into
the Walmart.
Yeah, a Walmart greeter.
No, Walmart greeters. So you need a Lowe's and a Home Depot greeter that says, excuse me, what's the dimensions of a 4x4? And if you don't know, you shouldn't be allowed in the stupid store.
Because
you're obviously not handy enough.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, this goes to my next thing is when I'm doing my inspections every day. Not every day I see it, but I can tell if it's been a tradesman that's done the work or homeowner Hank that's done the work, because you can see where they've missed the dimensions because they didn't know.
Right.
So I do see it, you know, when people are building walls and houses and things like that and all the other stuff or trying to do remodeling on their own.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to run across. It just, for me though, I guess we just know it, and it's always been the way it is. So,
yep.
Well, I mean, like your Swanson speed square, everything is set up for those halves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all your marks are at inch and a half, and so on. Your tape measure's set up that way. So this isn't something that they just snuck in on us last week.
Right.
That's why I can't believe somebody would, like I said, take on a suit like that or even try.
Yeah, it's going to go. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to go nowhere, but, you know.
I hope so. Unfortunately, like Lowe's and
Menards,
they all have lawyers on staff as it is, so it's not like it's cost them extra. But the thing is, regardless of what it costs for them to do this, that cost has to be passed on to the consumer. So you're not doing anybody favors with these frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Then you got, you know, all the court time and all the other stuff. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you talk about tort reform, you know, frivolous lawsuits. If this isn't a frivolous lawsuit, I don't know what is.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
It ranks up there with hot coffee at McDonald's and some other stuff. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right. I know.
Okay. Well, cool. Anyway. Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great day, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye. And if anybody else does want to chime in, 847-475-1590, because I'm going to take exception with what you said about a greeter at the store needs to know.
Yeah.
At the Hope Depot, if it's a 2x4. I mean, you could have a list of 500 things that the greeter needs to know. You know?
Oh,
not
easy.
The greeter. The greeter has to ask the incoming customer.
Yeah.
Right. You said have a greeter at.
Right.
Home at Depot has Home to Depot. Know what a 2x4 is.
Yeah. So before you get in, you have to pass a test. That's what Rich is saying.
I just wonder how many people at Home Depot
that actually work at Home Depot know.
Right, know what the 2x4 is, not 2x4.
Okay, let's go to the real test. Ben, did you know a 2x4 was not a 2x4?
I did.
Okay, and how much construction have you done in your life?
In my life, I've demolished one deck.
Okay, that's your construction experience.
A destruction, yes.
Yeah, oh, a destruction, mm-hmm. Okay, experience. And you knew that it was not a true 2x4.
I didn't know before that, though, actually. My buddy's a carpenter.
Oh.
There you go. See?
Okay. All right. That was...
An insider. He got insider information.
Oh, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So, there you go.
I was kind of peeved, though, I got to say.
Yeah? Like you're being shortchanged?
Yeah, I didn't understand at the time, but I get it.
Yeah?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I guess the real issue is when you run across those older homes that have a real 2x4, you know.
It's a pain. Yeah. You got to scab stuff together to get the walls to straighten out.
Yeah. Or you're buying 2x6s and running them
and
through.
Ripping them.
Ripping them all down, which is what we do. So, you have to rip a bunch of 2x6s to 4-inch, a true 4. That gets to be a pain in the butt. Or you're offsetting 2 2x4s to try and make them and stitching them together. It's there's so many homes.
Is what it is.
Yeah, there's so many homes that have been built with the nominal size of 2x4 that when you run into a real 2x4, it's a pain in the butt to try and make things work and get your walls to stay straight. So it's tough. All right. We got more phone calls to get to, emails, and stuff like that. So we're going to do that. Yeah. We got to take a quick break, though, first.
Okay.
And then we'll be back.
And then.
You are listening to...
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right. So with that, I think the last segment there, we were talking about the true 2x4, and if you really want to look at it, Your 2x4 is 1.5 by 3.5, and it goes up in sizes like that. Everything's basically a half inch smaller than what you really think it is, and that's why it's called nominal sizing. So you'll see it advertised 2x4 nominal, and that's
so. why didn't they, you know, why are they suing over 4x4s and not 4x4s, 2x4s? I mean, even 1x6 is 3/4 by 5 1/4.
Yep.
You know, a 2x10 is 1.5 by 9 1/4, sometimes 9.5. But
yep,
we know that. I don't know why they, you know,
and
whatever.
What about half-inch plywood? That's not really half-inch.
No, it's 1932, and that's what it's stamped.
See, there's some more.
Well, that's 5/8 actually. So, but
yeah.
No, but no, I know what you're saying. But those are stamped. They have the APA stamp on them, so they are correct. But you're right.
We have a note from one of our faithful listeners, David, and he said when he was a kid, he would go to the sawmill to buy lumber. When his father built the neighbor's barn, lumber was purchased in the rough.
Yep.
For example, 2x4. Sometimes for projects in someone's home, my father would ask for it to be planed on two sides, and then all the pieces would be the same measure, 1 3/4 by 3 3/4.
Uh-huh.
City people use the plain four sides, 1.5 by 3.5, because it was easier on the hands.
City people?
It is. They actually even round the corners.
Yeah.
Easier on the hands.
Because if you've ever framed with square lumber, it's actually painful. He's absolutely right. It's much easier on the hands.
Yeah. So city people have softer hands. Is that what he was accusing us of?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike. There you go. Hey, Mike, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, well, I'm trying to find you guys again.
Excellent.
Hey, you know, the 2x4 question. I can't remember where I saw it, but I just remember
hey, Mike, hold on a second. Let's try a quick call back there. Your phone is just dropping out. There you go. All right. Trixie. I can't hear that one. So, okay. So let's go back to your post there from Facebook, Robbie. So he was able to just go to the sawmill and get a true 2x4 for rough framing.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, he's talking about when he was a kid. So, you know, I'm assuming, David, that was like about 100 years ago. Is that what you're saying?
Ow. Ow.
What?
Ow. Why would you do that?
Oh, because, you know, he'll appreciate it.
Being called an old man, sure. I'm sure it would.
So who was it that was calling?
Mike. That's all I know. I couldn't understand anything else he was saying.
Okay.
So anyway, at least if you buy a sheet of plywood, it is really 4 feet by 8 feet. So I guess you got that going.
Not if you buy melamine.
No, because, well, there's your
that
over.
Is 4'1" by 8'1".
Yeah, so they're over advertising. What is that? They're giving you too much for what's being advertised.
Not that anybody knows what melamine is.
Malamine? Or I think also the MDF.
White-sided plywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, the true MDF is like that.
Yeah, MDF comes that way too, where it's actually larger. Which I don't know, is that for cabinet making? So that way you still get.
Well, yeah, because that's it. You run it through your saw, you got your kerf, which is 1/8 inch, and then, yes, you still end up with good pieces.
Yeah.
After resawing.
Right. That way you can end up with a true 24-inch pieces, to, you know, when you rip it down the middle.
Right, and that's normally for, like, laminated cabinets. Whereas if you're doing face frames, the regular 4x8 sheet works because you only need a 23 1/4 inch piece, and then you have a face frame.
Yep.
But when you're doing all wrapped, it's amazing that the thought that goes into some of that stuff when they make it.
Yeah. It's goofy. It shouldn't be that way.
No.
All right. Excellent. So what else we got?
You have the porta potty. The burrito.
Yeah. Jeff. No, it was actually, was it? Will posted that.
I think that was a Will's, yeah. Will was busy this week.
Apparently not. He was posting stuff.
He was busy posting stuff this week.
Yeah.
He found somewhere where the Port-a-John had melted. It looked like it caught on fire, and it actually melted the Port-a-John next to it. And,
mm-hmm.
So he posted it up there saying, "What'd you eat?" So that's what that was about. And then also he posted a thing where there's a it looks like an electrician dropped his screwdriver on a ceiling at the New York Library, like he was above the ceiling. It's a drop ceiling that's all painted and hand finished and a it's $12 million ceiling in the New York Library, and it looked like an electrician dropped his screwdriver, and it went right through that ceiling.
No.
Yep. Yep. How'd you like that?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. The liability insurance is not going to be good on that. And I guess it was just finished like 5 years ago. And someone did.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
It's not even on our page?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's on there. It's really an ornate, detailed ceiling. So
why would I not see that? Why is it hiding from me?
Go to the left side. You'll see post. Click on post. And then you go to the right side, and you'll see where it says visitors posts. And then you'll scroll back through there. Yeah. That's how I do it anyway.
Gotcha. So,
emails.
You want to
get emails.
You want to do an email?
We get your emails every day. Boom, 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 boom. Here's your mail today. Chunka, 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 chunka.
Okay, sure. How about if we do this one instead?
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Here's your mail today.
Chunka, 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 chunka. Hello, we just had a new cedar deck installed this week.
Yeah.
Should I wait 30 days before applying a stain sealer? Should I wait 30 days before applying a stain sealer? Also, do I need to wash the deck with a special cleaner to remove the mill glaze and dirt, or can I just sweep it off with a broom? Thanks.
Rich?
Yes.
Yes. So a cedar deck is probably going to be kiln dried, and you could stain that right away if you wanted to. But it's cedar, so it really looks cool right now. So if you're going to put a clear sealer on that, you know, that's going to help hold that color for a little bit. Eventually, it's still going to gray out, though. You can't stop that graying from happening. And I know everybody loves the look of a real cedar deck stained natural. But the least amount of protection you're going to get out of a stain is when you get a clear stain. So if you want a solid body stain, that's actually going to give you more protection and protect the wood a lot better, but you have to stain it a color then, which is kind of going against, why would you put a color on a cedar deck?
Well, it should be oil-based stain too, because cedar has a lot of oil in it, so don't use a water base, but use an oil base, but you can stain it cedar.
Yeah.
And it sounds silly, but then it'll keep it from graying out longer, but, you know, just what it is.
Yeah. So with the cedar stuff, and as long as it hasn't just rained, it's okay to go ahead and just stain it and get moving on it. Sickens is a good one. Cabot's is another good stain to use. So those are two that I would look at. And then if you're going to use pressure treated, though, that's a different story. I like to let those season for a year before you actually put any stain on them. And that's because that is just pine.
They start rotting instantly.
Yeah. It's pine, or it's a yellow pine that fir that they go run through there.
Fir?
Yes. And fir. Under high pressure, they put all these chemicals into the wood that makes it green. And now I see it at one of the big box stores, they've got a brown chemical that they're putting into it to pressure treat the lumber with.
To ACQ?
Yeah. So
AC2.
So what that does, though, it puts a lot of moisture in the wood. So when you're, it's really heavy, and you can tell the difference when it's fresh, because it's when it comes right out of the cooker, it's full of water and moisture. So when you put that down, one, you push all the boards tight together because they're going to shrink, and then you'll get your
shrink.
And then you'll get your proper gapping on all the boards. But in the meantime, you want to let that sit out there and dry and go through a season under the sun before you go putting any stain on it.
And, thank you.
And then you don't want to power wash it and then turn around and go ahead and stain it, because you're putting moisture into it again. So to go back to the email, you don't want to, if you're going to power wash it, I would leave it set for a couple weeks. Make sure it's dry. They have moisture sensors you can buy that are fairly inexpensive, and test it and make sure that it's dry before you actually go start putting any stains on it. And if you want to, if you want to do a light sand on it because you're worried about the milling, which is, you know, when it comes through the machines, it makes it really smooth. So then the grain isn't open enough. And that's why he's saying that, you know, maybe the stain won't take properly. So if you go through it and sand it with 100 grit on a palm sander first, you could go, you could do that if you wanted to, just to open up the grain a little bit so that the stain will fall, you know, soak in a little bit better.
Sometimes I ask these questions and I figure it's going to be like a 10-second answer.
And then?
And then
palm sanders and grain and absorbing and
well, yeah, it, I mean, there's a lot to it. It's not just throwing some paint on some wood.
That's what it is.
No, no, it's not. But those are the, you know, like I said, it could be. And those are the same ones that are peeling out there.
Right.
You know, the decks that are having major problems is because they...
Well, and there's a couple of brands that, you know, like the Deck Restore, the Deck Finish, and they're actually sort of wax base. And what ends up happening is, you know, the wax doesn't penetrate. It sits on top of the moisture.
Yep.
And yes, it will start just peeling off.
So last summer, every year, my husband stains or whatever our deck. Last year, he bought something and it was like white, supposed to dry clear. It was mislabeled.
Nice.
Our deck is white.
Yay!
Sloppy. Nice. I mean, not, you know, because it was just slapped on.
We'll find out more.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle, our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And, of course, you want to know what's going on. All you got to do is, with us during the week, you can sign up for the newsletter and you'll find out all the great stuff that we're doing or lined up to do, guests we're supposed to be having, all that kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff right there.
Go to MightyHouse.net, go to the contact page, and sign up for the newsletter and stay informed.
There you go. So we found out what Mike was trying to tell us on the on that last phone call, too.
What was that?
That some of the flyers that he's seen in the newspapers now are listing a 2x4, but then in fine print they give you the actual size. So that some of the advertising is starting to do that. So that's what Mike was calling about too, when his phone started cutting out. So that's what that was about. Let's see, it's like time for the tip of the week,
top of the morning.
Is that what it is? Oh, so you want to hear this right now, Robbie? Let me see. Is this it?
Yep. Sawn logs.
Okay, Sparky.
See? No longer a 2x4.
Nope. It was cut. It was run through the planer.
Sound of the planer. That's right. So this is like really non-construction related. So it's just, you know, tip of the week, like on summer travel tips.
Oh, so, I was wondering if maybe this was going to be a Rich's rant then.
Ooh.
No. These are actually, so what I did is, you know, it's time of year where everybody, you know, kids are out of school, you need time away. So you want to make your vacation a little better and safer. So I just actually went on the Google machine and plagiarized stuff from all over the web.
No, don't say that.
Why not?
All right. I looked at stuff on the web. But
why don't you just say these are tips that you know and want to share with us?
No, because I'd be lying. If you're telling the truth. Well, like Judge Judy says, it's always easier to remember the truth. So I stole this stuff off the web. Some of them are kind of interesting. So
Good. It's
funny. If you're driving and you want to keep your kids busy, make binders with coloring books, blank paper, crossword puzzles, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like laughing. I'm like, seriously, just throw the tablet in the back seat, right?
Exactly.
I mean, like, how old is that tip? Like, back when I was a kid, that made perfect sense. Today, Yeah, no, you got a TV screen and the freaking headrest ahead of you.
Right. Yeah, you hand each of them a tablet and you set them up, off they go. They each get to watch their own movie now, too, you know?
Yeah. That. I mean, I remember, you know, my brothers and my sister, the four of us in the back of the car, he touching me, and, you know, going through all that stuff. Not anymore.
Is
man.
There a tip in here somewhere?
In. Yeah.
Bring the tablet.
So if you're driving your car, if you're going by car, make sure you get a tune-up. Check your tires. And here's a real good one, though. It's really important to just get the belt on your car checked, because every darn new car has a single belt, a serpentine. And when you lose it, you lose everything. It's not like the old one where maybe it was your alternator belt and you could still get home or whatever. Now, change that belt, man. Make sure you look. And it's always, you got to check the inside, not the backside. The inside's where it all breaks. The backside will look fine. So get that belt changed. It's not that expensive.
Yeah, when you're looking
at it. Anyway, you can drive confidently.
Yeah, when you're looking at the top of it, where it's coming across the belt at the very top, it looks good on that side, on the outside edge. It's the inside edge. It's hard to see that is where the problem is.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'd rather have my car at the shop for a day, getting tires balanced, rotate, whatever, and doing all that stuff than be stuck on the side of the road for a couple hours, you know? So
is that when you
it's
say,
amazing how many people just get in and drive.
Yes.
Is that a tune-up? I mean, if I'm taking it, so I say, hey, I just need a tune-up. What do you say when you take it to the garage?
Basically, tell them you're about to take a road trip and you just want the car checked over. Yeah. So basically, it would be tires and so on. Like, most new cars don't need spark plugs or a tune-up for 100,000, 120,000 miles.
Right.
So it's not true tune-up, but you want to check tires, belts, check wear items would be a good way to put it.
Yeah. All your fluid levels. Yeah.
Get some Rain-X on that windshield. Get new wiper blades.
We need to have, this is really a good topic. We could have John from
Advanced.
Right.
Advanced
right.
Automotive. Good topic. Mm-hmm. Good topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else you got?
So plan your route.
What?
Considering. No. Plan your route considering
back
rush
roads.
Hour.
Free and easy.
Well, see,
down
that's fine
the
if you
can
do
I
back
know.
Roads.
Oh, I got to go find a song now.
No, see, here's the thing.
That's the way we try to do it, like Route 66 and so on. We've done all the back road traveling. No, my point is, like, if you're taking I-75, you're going to hit Atlanta at, you know, rush hour, then adjust the time you leave. You know, it's 11 hours to get to Atlanta. So, you know, you don't want to leave at 7 in the morning, because if you do that, you're going to hit Atlanta at 7 in the morning. You know what I mean? Because of the hour time difference. So you're going to get killed. So you want to leave later or earlier to avoid that. So that's all I mean by plan your route that way. Other than that, I wing it.
Yeah. I like to just get up in the morning and go, look at the map. Let's go here today.
And darts. Yes. Throw darts at the map.
And take off.
Yep.
So that's a lot
of fun. And that's actually one of my tips here. Don't make reservations. So I would say, unless you're traveling with a bunch of kids, right? We don't make reservations at hotels. We don't call ahead for anything. We just wing it. You know, and because you'd have to never know where you're going to end up.
Right.
And I don't really want to have to be anywhere.
Yes.
You know, so I think one of the greatest trips we took was going out west, was literally I-80 to Colorado, right? Boring drive. But what we did is we looked for points of interest along the route.
Right.
Golf courses. So while we're driving, we made a tee time for every morning. And then after we booked the golf course, we would search for a hotel near the golf course. So we drive the 6 hours, check in the hotel, find some place, you know, ask in the hotel, where's the best place in town to eat, or, you know, the best bar, whatever. Go have dinner, golf in the morning, get back in the car and do it all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great
there you
trip.
Go.
You know, plan nothing.
Yeah.
Make sure you check your passport now. If you're not sure what you're going to do this year, whatever, but you probably should take a look at your passport, because if it's, you know,
expiring,
probably a good idea to find out now.
Because that's not something they're just going to renew right away. It takes time.
Exactly. It could. Well, and if it expires, it's actually harder than renewing before it expires. So
really?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Huh.
I don't know. I always get mine renewed. If you're on a tight budget, pretty much look for, or if you know, want to know what the trip's going to cost you, book an all-inclusive. And we do that all the time. I mean, it's a great way to go to a resort. And, you know, if everything's included,
what are some of
you're
your
not
favorites?
Getting nickel and dime. Playa del Carmen, Mexico, the Riviera Maya, that's where I go a lot, and then Jamaica.
Jamaica me crazy.
Heidi, man. Heidi.
Back to you, Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. If you're flying, a good tip to actually, if you've never been to the airport you're flying into, is just Google it and then get a lay of the land. You know, understand the layout of the airport instead of getting off the plane going,
which way do I go?
Which way do I go?
Well, right, that happens in Atlanta no matter what. But
yes, because that is like one crazy airport. Or you got the Denver airport that's in Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But anyway, here's a really good one, though. This is one you'll like. I didn't know this one. So this is actually two of the best tips in here, and I got to hurry.
Yes.
Okay, if you need to use Google Maps and you don't have service, you can bring up Google Maps, and if you type in OK Maps, okay, it will place a pin there so you can go back to your car in a parking lot, you can go back to your hotel, and you don't have to be online to do it.
Really?
It will ping you right there, and I didn't know that.
Oh, from your cell sites.
Yep. Hey, Robbie, best one ever. This says pack old undergarments, so as you wear them, you throw them away, which makes more space for souvenirs.
Well, we did that as kids all the time. We'd pack old clothes, and Mom would throw them away as we traveled. Yeah.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.